This week on RSBNB Update, we unpack the departure of Maud's warden, Carrie, and Niku. Maud Warden has also shared a statement with us, and we'll share it with you. Speculation about the future of RuneScape is also on tap this week with that and the news that the Duel Arena is going away. This is RSBNB Update, episode 851, recorded Thursday, October 14th, 2021. Saying goodbye to yesterday. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week, it has been a rather earth-shattering week and everything RuneScape-related, but Tanis, you're here, as you are each and every week. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Shane.
Also joining us this week is the Bears, and you're on the show because, you know, we thought this week, oh, this is just going to be a patch week with a few combat fixes here and there, and you and I started talking about a few of them on Monday, and we thought, yeah, let's have you on the show, but it's actually taken on a whole life of its own this week, hasn't it?
Yeah, hello, everyone. Yeah, it's definitely changed a lot the last couple days, so I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, just for people who haven't heard you before, give them a brief rundown of who you are and what you do on RS.
Yeah, so I'm Bears. I don't really give my in-game name because it changes basically every month. Always Bears-related, though. Right now, it's currently Bears Suck. Long story behind that. I do a lot of combat. That's kind of what I do while I'm off work, and then while working, just kind of AFK something. Recently, it's been a lot of Vindicta, or kind of going towards 120 in all skills.
So nice.
That's about it.
Nice. And of course, you also write our wonderful combat articles on Informer as well, so we thank you to that.
Yep.
You can find all those at informer.rsbnb.com. I am Shane12088. Tanis is at Tanis79, and of course, if you want to join in on the discussion, you can find us in Friends Chat, Bits Bytes, in-game, or you can join our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. And we're going to begin this week with the trifecta of J-Mods leaving. I think there were actually a couple of others as well that posted that they were leaving as well on Twitter. But nonetheless, this week, Mods Warden, Carrie, and Niku have announced that they are going to be leaving Jagex. Maud Warden effectively immediately, Niku as well, and I think Carrie's last day is the 27th of October. And we're gonna get into all of these as we move through the show. But I think we should handle the simpler ones of first and talk about Maud Carrie. Maud Carrie has been in the role of community manager for nearly 2 years, and she has decided that it's time to hang up her J-Mod crown. And, you know, I think the thing that Maud Carrie is best known for, and every player should thank her for this, is her work with the reformed ninja team with Maud Kalia, and just bringing all those ninja fixes that the player base talk about directly to the ninja team and liaising with them as well. So Maud Carrie did a wonderful job in that as a community manager. I almost want to say social manager, but that's what Maud Niku's role was. You guys have any thoughts on Maud Carrie's departure?
I know Carrie was the one who usually posted the updates on Reddit, so I was always reading her Reddit posts every single Monday morning. I never realized it was her until this week when I saw that post, and then about, what was it, a couple hours later, she posted that it was her last one. I was like, oh, damn. She did a great job with them.
She also did the reformatting of the patch notes into the news post, and the number one thing we were, of course, concerned about that was reader accessibility, but it actually works quite well on the page. The only concern I have is that there's no easy way to link directly to the patch notes, but that's more of a me problem than anyone else. Tanis?
You know, I didn't really know who she was as well as I should have, because I didn't follow the main place, you know, where she was most active, like what Barris is talking about here. But I will say this, anyone that had the guts to to try to wrangle that crowd will be missed.
Yeah, that's a very important thing to say, and it's also something that she notes as well, that thank you for the support and kindness that you've shown me over the years. As I leave, please show that same love to Maud Miva and Maud Hooley, who will be picking up where I leave off, though please do be patient with them as well. They adapt to being a smaller team, so community management is down to two again for the time being. That'll be interesting to watch going forward, I think. And for what it's worth, we mentioned Maud Miva is the new senior CM that is going to be coming online. Coming online? No, they're not. They're not a robot. They're not a robot. Going to be finishing with onboarding very soon as well. So we should be expecting an introduction from them as well in the coming weeks. As for Niku, Maud Niku announced departure on Twitter after 3.5 years of shaping the voices of RuneScape, Jagex, and RuneFest. The time has come to close the book on Maud Niku's adventures and fly off to new horizons. And according to the live stream this week, he is heading back to France to be with family. And, you know, it's always difficult living in a different country from where one initially resides on that. And, you know, you don't really see and you don't really anticipate too much about Niku's type, but in general, the social media strategy behind at RuneScape on Twitter was him for those last almost 4 years. And I think it served them pretty well going forward, just in terms of surfacing community content and bringing various things up to the forefront that would have been missed otherwise. So, all right, shall we move on to Maud Warden?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Maud Warden has also announced his departure from the company in a tweet, in a series of tweets, actually, on his Jagex Warden account. And with that, his initial post said that it's an emotional day. I have resigned my post and left Jagex as executive producer for RuneScape. Exciting times ahead. Something big for me is on the horizon. See you soon. And we replied back from the RSVMB Twitter. And I think this is something that I bring forward from the podcast community and our community in general. And I said, you helped RS grow up and take that next step that it's needed to take for years. This is mission accomplished, and you will be missed. Do you guys agree with that sentiment that he put RuneScape on this path and made it take these steps that it needed to take for what was probably, you know, close to a decade at that time?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was telling this to Tannis before the show on how there's one of these weird things where I vividly remember where I was walking at the time I was listening to the podcast that he was hired and sort of the checklist you guys gave him. And like he did a good job. Like one of the main things was getting archaeology out, and boy, was that successful. Like that was such a good update. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see him go, and it's going to be sad.
Was there anything else on that checklist that you can remember offhand?
Archaeology was the big one. I think probably you guys mentioned getting more profit in.
That was probably me.
I'm not a numbers guy, so that's not my topic.
Okay. All right. Tannis, should I read the next tweet, or do you want to jump in right about now?
I'll let you read the next tweet, because when I start, I don't know
when you'll stop. Okay, so
when I'm going to stop.
So I'll read the other thing that we have as well. So the response to that was that he says, thanks. I would have loved to stay longer and do more. I don't believe the overall circumstances would allow for it, unfortunately. The RS community is active, fun, patient, and supportive. I believe this is what makes it unique and special. It should never be taken for granted. And we, of course, 100% agree with that sentiment. And, you know, we of course, here at the podcast also have a relationship with Maud Warden from covering his initial arrival at the company to writing him when he opened up his Mod Warden inbox. And of course, with that, having him on the podcast last year as well. And because that, we did have a bit of a back and forth behind the scenes, and he did give me a statement to share. He wasn't sure if this was going to be published on the Jagex website or not, but nonetheless, we do have his statement here. I don't believe it's been heard anywhere else, so I'll just read this and then we'll jump into the ramifications of this. So it starts off, "Hello, Scapers. Getting to say hello to you all has always meant a lot to me, which makes this hello incredibly hard to do. After a little over two magnificent, wonderful, and life-changing years, I've decided to move on from Jagex. I will be moving my family back to my Canadian homeland, where I have something new that I'm really excited to be a part of and can share with my family. This has been a most memorable game-making experience, and wanted to express my utmost gratitude towards you. You gave me an opportunity to pick up the RuneScape baton, represent, and lead you all. You put a lot of trust in me, supported me when times were difficult. This gave me the fuel to press harder to reestablish the world's foundations and priorities, and it's made a huge difference. RuneScape has grown a lot and will continue to do so. Many new seeds are planted and the sparks are lit, and it will continue to be a wondrous, changing world. Thank you for this. To my team, I couldn't have done this without you. We embarked on a great journey together. You are my friends, and I will never forget our time making RuneScape together. It was an honor to serve you. I will fight hard and take bullets for you any day. Citizens of Gielinor, please take care of the RuneScape team. They pour their heart and soul into everything they make for you. They watch, listen, and hear you. Trust them as they are players as well. Push them to keep Gielinor alive, fun, and beautiful. This is a place where friendships are made and where hearts and minds are alike live. They will respond in kind and will continue to surprise and delight you. Many great new things are to come. Never accept anything less. Love you all, and in case I don't see you, till next time, Ryan Ward, Mod Warden." And this was provided to us by Mod Warden, and it's a great privilege to be able to share this. And if it doesn't get posted on Jagex's website, please do share his message out there to the RuneScape community and RuneScape team if you're hearing this right now, because this is something I think that everybody needs to hear with the departure of Mod Warden. We know that there's a new executive producer on the way. They have been selected. They're currently onboarding and getting close to the Jagex team. And according to the live stream this week, they'll be making an introduction of this person within the next few weeks or so. So with that being said, let's just jump right in here right now. And Tanis, I know you have some initial thoughts on this.
Yeah, you know, this kind of came as a complete shock. And I felt like some of the stages of grief this week, mainly going back and forth between anger and just depression, because this was something that I saw as kind of a bright spot with the game, and especially with the game in the last few years. You know, ever since I've been covering RuneScape with RSBNB Informer since, 2013, and been hosting with you since about 2017 now?
2018. Yeah, I think so.
And we've been here, and we had high hopes for Mod Warden when he came in, because we've been here. We've seen people come and go. We've seen a lot of things. And he not only had a, you know, stellar resume, but when he came in, he was very open with the players. And then that did lead up to us, being able to talk to him. And I quickly found out that he was genuine. He lived up to the hype. They say never meet your heroes, but it worked out in that case. And what I hope, or the one thing that I I have to say about Mudwarden is when he said something, he meant it, and he got it done.
And I'd just like to point to one example. You know, one thing we had always been told was too difficult was interface scaling, and we had that in 18 months or less.
Yeah. And I, you know, we spoke with Mudwarden. Mudwarden was, you know, genuinely interested and wanted to make the game more accessible.
Yeah, and to be fair, he didn't even have to give us a minute of his time if he didn't want to. And the folks who listen to this show, we haven't talked about this before because we keep these kind of things under wraps and privileged because we respect the privacy of everyone involved. But before our episode last year, we actually had a pre-sit down with Mudwarden that was scheduled to go on for, I think it was 45 minutes. And we sat and chatted with him about a week before that episode for about 2.5 hours. And I asked him numerous times during that, because there's about a 6 or 7 hour time difference. I said, okay, it's getting kind of late. Do you need to go or do you want to keep going? And he said, no, let's just keep going and talk about everything that needed to be talked about. And that's where you're coming from on this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously that's an important issue to me, but it was important, I think, to Mudwarden. I genuinely felt he was interested. He didn't have to, you know, talk about it, but he did. And the interface scaling and the, you know, and the font was something that he had picked up on. And like you said, 18 months later, here it was. You know, but although maybe archaeology had been in some of the earlier development stages, he shepherded it through. He was the one that made the hard decision to hold it back. And then hold it back, not knowing that there was going to be a worldwide pandemic hit, right? But yet, still got it out the door, and it was still a huge success.
And kind of going along that, it's not like he held it back and gave us nothing. Like, War's Retreat came out of him holding it back. Like, that wasn't scheduled until after archaeology. But they pushed archaeology back and moved that up, and I don't know about you guys, but I use that hundreds of times a day. So it's like, he didn't just come and do nothing and push back. He still gave us stuff to do.
Yeah, that's a real good point.
Yeah, and I think one of the other bigger things that we can pick up on this is that there was a true definition of what the RuneScape update cycle would look like, and that was one headliner a month with a Ninja Strike and a couple of other smaller patch weeks. And that was a solution that was missing and was been, you know, in flux. It felt like it was in flux every year or so, and it was nice to have that change. And I think one of my biggest questions will be going forward is, are we going to keep this monthly headliner style of update thing going on? Are we going back to the questions of, are we going to be changing this every so often? Because I think what we have now works really well.
Yeah, I agree. But what happens next is completely in the air.
Yeah.
And
I told this to you guys as we began this. We don't know who the next executive producer is going to be. We don't know what their mandate is. They could be the next Steve Jobs, or they could be the next Donald Trump. We don't know.
Yeah. I think the best way for me to illustrate, you know, kind of how I feel about that is just to, you know, maybe I should kind of voice the fears of a lot of us out in the community. These aren't things that we think necessarily, you know, will happen. We hope to God they don't happen. But I think they are fears that a lot of us share right now. And one being with the departure of, you know, the community management team. It feels like there could be an opportunity for a little less interaction with the players, a little less emphasis on player feedback. I fear that. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, and it's important
that.
To say that everything here, we're just going to lay everything on the ground, and we want to let each individual listener make their choice on what they feel is most likely to happen or what is actually going on behind the scenes here. Because we're going to be talking about things that, you know, are pointing in one direction it could go, but we don't necessarily know with 100% certainty what that's going to be. And we're not telling you to believe one thing or the other. What we're in effect going to lay down is a number of potential different paths that could happen, I think.
Yeah, I'm leading you down the scary path, because this is, you know, I think it's natural to think, oh my God, could these things happen? I hope they don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that they're going to, but I fear that maybe the players won't have the same say that they have had before.
Yeah.
Because that was something that was emphasized while Mod Warden was here and the other community managers. I fear that the experiments with MTX are now done and roasted, and I'm very fearful that that's going to take a complete U-turn.
Yeah, and the reason we mentioned that is Mod Warden, of course, was also product director for Overwatch, and Overwatch is held up as the model of how to do microtransactions without using XP boosts or boxes that, you know, are going to, in effect, have XP in them and a gambling aspect behind them. Sure, you know, you don't know what you're going to get in that, but everything you get is cosmetic in that game. And there's a part of me that thinks that if it were at all possible, he would have liked to have gone down that path for RS as well. And I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid here right off right now, Tanis. And, you know, one thing we always talk about whenever these yearly numbers come in, the yearly corporate numbers, is that we always look at the number in terms of how much money RS3 is bringing in, how much money microtransactions plays a role in that. And there is always a potential push within when you change executive producers to change that strategy and pull on different levers to raise that number up. And that's one potential way we could go here. And that's what I mean by pulling the Band-Aid off.
And the problem, I just think there's too many variables with that. I don't think it's a one-to-one.
No, it's not. It's definitely
not. And right, and that's...
I also need to say before we get too far down this path that the acutely aware have noticed that Mod Warden typically only stays at his postings about 2 to 3 years. So there's that. And we also need to point out that in the games industry in general, the average turnaround is very high, to the point that 2 to 3 years in the games industry is about the average. And if you're anywhere more than, 3, 4, 5 years, you're considered a dinosaur in that firm that you haven't moved on. So the games industry does turn its staff over around fast as well. And that's the other side of it. Granted, we don't have a direct source or any concrete info on what could be potentially happening inside Jagex with changes that are being pushed towards the monetization angles and whatnot. But we also just need to say that it's entirely possible that when you look at what Warden, Niku, and Carrie have all said, that we're at that 2 to 3 year time period. And that's another option as well that I want everybody to consider.
Yeah, I saw some theories that I didn't love, where it's like, oh, 3 J-Mods are leaving, like, what's going on? It's like, if you look at their roles, like, how much they would interact and have, like, the same idea. Like, it just, that just doesn't seem plausible that they're all leaving for the same reason. Like, there's other reasons people leave jobs. Like, it could be family, it could be missing... living in Canada, like, it's...
could be better opportunity with more money, doing closer to what you want to do. That sort of
exactly.
thing. And that's what we're highlighting here, is that there's multiple different ways to interpret this, and I don't want anybody in essence to become sold on one particular path or another, because there's a myriad of possible reasons that this could be happening. So I just wanted to put that caveat out there before we dive too much deeper into this.
Well, I mean, we've seen that before when Mod Warden had came in, right? We saw J-Mod's leave here and there. And I don't necessarily think that one is related to the other in this case, except in the way that remember Jigex is it's been recently bought, and how do you increase profits? Well, one way you can cut down cost. You know, I'm going down to a 2-person community management team. That's going to cut some costs there. And you know, who knows? You know, who knows about anything else? I didn't get the impression. Let me put it this way. I don't get the impression that Mod Warden up and left. That being said, he will land on his feet. I mean, who, Disney, are you looking for somebody? Because this man is skilled. But I don't think that like something necessarily might have been lined up, because to me, it sounded like he was talking directly to us, the players who he connected with, and doesn't want us to think that he ran out. That's the last and maybe the most biggest fear that I have is now we're adrift, because maybe next to doing what he said, the other thing that he provided was this. I mean, even though we weren't, it's not like we work at Jagex, but he provided this leadership and vision that had been lacking for so long. It was just adrift. It just went whichever way the wind blew. And I'm afraid that guiding light may not be there.
Or in general, just the leadership aspect of it. You know, two things. I'll just highlight that one sentence again. I don't believe the overall circumstances would allow for it, unfortunately, in terms of staying longer. And with that, I mean, we're not going to try and mind read here in terms of what his exact motivations are, but it's all on paper there. Well, I guess not on paper, on Twitter, but the thing I think that you can pull apart from this, the threads that you're having an issue with Tanis, and I think a lot of people are, is that we're at this point where we've had this leader figure who filled this gap and in effect steered the ship into a new and interesting direction, and we don't know what direction that is going to go after the fact. And for what it's worth, I'll go back to what was said on the live stream this week. The new executive producer was from within Jagex already, but they're getting closer to RuneScape.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Could we be getting someone from the old school team?
No. No, probably not at all.
Community voting for every update? Question mark. Because that would go over well.
Well, I mean, don't be surprised. We could see some major swings here,
right? And the reason I say that, it comes from the mobile numbers, and this is I want to make it 100% clear that the direction that Mod Warden took things, I was very much a fan of. But the question has all been in my mind and might even make the form of a monthly bid in the next month or so. What do you do with RuneScape Mobile now? The fact that it didn't bring people in. Do you take that and just move on and carry on as you normally do in the traditional RuneScape sense? Do you retailer RuneScape to be a mobile game that people will download on the App Store and make those direct microtransaction purchases in, or do you do something else and capitalize on the nostalgia that has made old school successful?
Well, you can't change. Okay, look, here's the issue with mobile. It was 2 or 3 years too damn late.
Yeah.
That should have been out before Mod Warden ever came, ever even got to there. By the time RuneScape hit, there's too much competition in the mobile world. Yeah. And it does. And I don't like mobile games much, but my daughter's really into them. And I watch what she plays and how she interacts with it. I don't think RuneScape would ever draw people in like that.
One thing clear is that if Mod Warden was sent on his way because of the numbers and the results of RuneScape Mobile not converting enough new players, I don't think that's a worthwhile sacrifice to make, because it was a project that was started before he got there. How is he supposed to turn around 5-6 years of development on this in 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Tanis. If it comes out 2 to 3 years earlier, they might see a rise of players, but I'm guessing the only people who have downloaded and keep using mobile are the ones who are
already playing. Since mobile came out, the player graph saw a bit of a bump on the first week, but it's just otherwise flat.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of one game that I've played consistently for more than 1 year, and I play on mobile. And right. I played for it for 3 years, and then since then, it's been over 2 years since I've stopped playing. And like, I just can't find a game on mobile besides RuneScape that I play for more than a week at a time. And the only reason I play RuneScape so much is because I also play it on my PC.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to underscore that again, that if it was decided Mod Warden should be forced out because of the RuneScape mobile numbers, that's something I horrendously disagree with, because that wasn't his project to begin with. And you can't come in and turn around a big project like that in that amount of time and make it a success. That's not possible.
No.
So I just want to get that out there on the record from my perspective.
There's also the possibility that management wants to, like, higher up than Mod Warden wants to really go all in on microtransactions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Warden could have put his foot down. So, I mean, you never know. And we probably won't ever know.
Right. And that's the thing. These are all possibilities, and I'm happy to highlight them here. And I'll leave it as an exercise to the listener to choose their best option on this. But for me, I'm not 100% sure myself. I feel this week that I am in this position floating above this, where I have separated my bias from it, that I'm not sure actually what happened inside and what the main reasoning for this was. So I'm okay with that personally. If it was what Mod Warden posted and he just wants to move back to Canada, fine. If it was something else internally, fine. We'll dissect that as we learn more about it.
Well, that's something that I wanted to add is, you know, I mean, time will tell, right? Like, if we see changes, that's going to be a good indication, right?
Yeah.
If things get turned up a whole lot, then that might be an indication. So, you know, time will tell. And, you know, I'm glad that you can separate yourself. I'm not gonna lie to the listeners. I'm not. I really did like Mod Warden.
I did too.
Yeah, I mean, I know you did. But I just have an inability to kind of separate myself from that, because, you know, it's just I really thought that he cared about the game, and he cared about people, And that just means a lot to me. I know that business is business, but sometimes being good to people, doing the right thing, should be good business, you know? And it's just unfortunate, because I don't think anybody could be bringing new numbers into RuneScape right now. The fact that we've held on as well as we have is freaking amazing, and that should be celebrated in of itself. But instead, you know, I feel like maybe it's the reverse. I'll lay it out there. You know, I'm definitely a little biased.
Yeah, and you know that's good to admit that, and I think it gets all the different perspectives on the table, and I think we've covered most of them, unless you have anything else, Bears, you want to top yours off, Tanis.
I think it's interesting changing executive producers in the middle of the whole Elder God Wars saga. I mean, we still have... Well, I mean, we haven't gotten a release date for the next front yet, but we still have that going on. So I don't imagine it'll change anything, but it's just very interesting timing.
That's probably set already.
Yeah.
All right. Tanis, last word?
You know, I just want to say you will be missed. You're really going to be missed. And I hope everything turns out okay. You know, I know there's still a lot of good people there that want to put out the best game they can. And maybe right now I'm going to keep doing my AFK waits while we get through the grief here. But yeah, I guess chin up and keep hoping for brighter days. But I will follow Mod Warden's next path. I hope he ends up at another game studio and just cranks out, you know, some hits, and that'll be awesome. It'll be like following Brady to the Bucks, right? You know, hey.
I'd love to see him work on Star Trek Online. That'd be a fun one.
That would be cool.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next big kahuna this week. Game integrity, real world trading. Okay, let's have this discussion about real world trading right now. Bit of a brief overview of what it is. In terms, it's effectively gold purchased through real world trading is a problem for any online game platform featuring a tradable currency. They say buyers fuel demand, and higher demand means more sellers and more bots to remove and more nefarious activity. So with that, for anybody who has been involved, we want to be clear. This is your one and only warning. Should any further real-world trading activity be detected, accounts will face possible bans and wealth removal. So that's point number one. Now, point number two comes to the Sand Casino, because at the Duel Arena, they say that the Duel Arena is a flashpoint for toxic behavior. I think we can agree with that the Duel Arena does... bring out all types. Yep.
That part,
very much so.
I agree with.
And 38% of real-world trading bans, accounting for thousands of bans per month, stem from there.
So I'm shocked that that's not more.
Really? See, I'm not even like really.
It's macroing. That's the lion's share, honestly. With real-world trading being less than that.
Yeah, I wouldn't see why
I read that wrong. That makes sense.
Yeah,
so, yeah, because I don't get necessarily why that's tied to the Duel Arena. I almost feel like I don't know, man.
Well, they're looking to long term phase out the Duel Arena. We heard that they're going to be doing similar for Old School, but before that, they have some short term changes, including the implementation of a staking cap in November that will limit stake values to no more than 50 million GP per duel. And the long-term solution scheduled for early 2022 is to replace the Duel Arena with a brand new experience that will be part of the Elder God Wars storyline. And they will share more information on that when they can.
Are they saying that is just where the money is being moved? Is this kind of like the laundromat where an account could move money from another, like, and if so, why?
That's
like,
why that's can't you one just do possibility. That with an alt? And another possibility is that you're dealing with a gambling problem at the Duel Arena, fueled by money that has been real-world traded. And with that, this section of RuneScape becomes a gambling feature. No, not just amongst the people who have done all the PVM they can do and have all the rares, just specific people who are using it as a gambling tool. I think that's the angle they're going with on this, Tanis. I actually don't think that they're... I know you've talked about, you know, folks who spend a good amount of time at the sandcastle there. Yeah. But I don't think they're in particular talking about those people that, you know, I think reading this and pairing the two together, I see something where there's a potentially a class of player that will go out and real world trade gold and gamble it away at the duel arena and try and double it. That's my sense of this. Not so much the ones who, who have done every boss in the game and have everything complete, that they're just playing with their rares. I don't think that they're after those people. I think they're after the people who are using the dual arena combined with real world trading.
Yeah.
Because people are probably higher in volume than the ones that you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe they are, but those people are also going to take their rares and go home. They're done. They have no reason to really play.
Yeah.
So we get rid of the dual arena. Are we going to see another flower game pop up? Because it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
Something else will take its place.
That this is also likely to that whole of economy discussion that was started last week on the live stream, where they said Montimbo is working on the solution full time, or the problem full time, and they have actually brought in outside economists looking at cash flow and everything to that effect. And my sense is that this is the first of a series of actions in related to that economy project with Timbo and the Economist. That's actually a nice name out there, Timbo and the Economist, thinking about it. My guess is it's related to that.
What do you think, Bears?
Yeah, I think Shane's spot on. It's like there's someone who's very common, chills at Wars Who Cheat on the World I frequent. And, you know, he'll be sitting there complaining, yeah, I'm down 10 bill at the duel arena, down 10 bill, I got completely wiped. And then the next day he's like, yeah, I'm up 20 bill. It's like, wait, where did you get the money to even start this? Like, that's a little sketchy. It's like, I know there's lots of people out there, and I think it's the right step. I said before the show, I'm very pro-gambling. I'm a big sports gambler. $5 a game or something like that. But the dual arena was something I could never get into because it just never thrilled me. So I'm excited to see this get changed.
Well, let me ask you this. So, you know, they're going to put in some changes. It's going to limit it to 50 mil, which you might as well just shut it down.
I agree.
But, now, Shane will probably like this idea. If we really wanted to shut down real-world trading, why not make the only currency that you can use at the Duel Arena bonds? Force the players, if you're going to feed the problem, make money on both ends.
Yeah, they could do that.
So those only be tradable bonds then? So you couldn't just like go to the Grand Exchange, buy 10 bonds, and then Duel, you'd have to convert them first, or you'd have to purchase them yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to think about that, but essentially the idea is, you know...
I think they'd have to be tradable bonds. You'd have to pay the tax on them.
Yeah.
Ooh, will the bond price skyrocket?
Exactly. And I think that there probably was a very, very brief discussion inside Jagex that said, oh, wait, what if we just, you know, limit it to bonds and made it so that, you know, you could actually do this, and, you know, we in effect had a way
monopoly on the currency. I mean, it's a monopoly, the chips, right? The casino has the chips.
Yeah, but there's two problems with that. One, that causes problems for anybody else who wants bonds for, Premier Club and whatnot, which is a problem that I've actually heard people already running into for the upcoming Premier Club season. And the second one is that there's a major ethical problem. At least in my perspective, of a game that is accessible to children, having a gambling system, or essentially a quasi-gambling system, in one of its main pieces of content.
You know, you really got to keep an eye on.
Also, it wouldn't be a problem if they wanted to use untradeable bonds, because right now the bonds are going for about 38 mil, and you can buy 150 every 4 hours on the GE.
I didn't know the price limit or the buy limit was that high.
Yeah, that's actually that's what I really just logged in to check, because I wasn't sure what it was, and I figured that'd be necessary for this discussion.
Yeah. They probably increased it with the recent buy limit increases.
I don't know that was on the list.
Oh, okay.
But I think the more interesting part is that it's going to be something Elder God Wars related.
And if that's the case, then it would have had to been in the works for a while.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see.
And, you know, I think the question that ultimately does come up is that this is a feature that goes back to, you know, the very early days of RuneScape. And I think aside from the discussion we're having here, there's just a lot of nostalgia as well behind the Duel Arena, too, that people are hoping doesn't disappear on that front. So, but
well, this will be the final nail in PvP.
Yes, and we do need to actually have a discussion about PvP at some point. So, patrons, please let us talk about PvP on last polled monthly bit of the year that's going to go up very soon. Please let us talk about PvP. I think that'd be a fun one. I think other things we want to talk about on that is what happens after RuneScape Mobile. Another look at RS Classic, maybe, and you know, maybe even a further deep dive into the whole Warden thing. But I don't necessarily know I want to do that. Base another monthly bit off of speculation, because we just actually came from there with our most recent one. So I'm actually going to thank some Patreon supporters right now. I didn't intend to transition into that quite so well, but this week I'd like to thank Amos Reed, Andrew C, Arvids L, Brock H, Christian S, Chunk the Monk, Cook Me Plocks, Diana, Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Keski, Lucky Ducky, Nate the Great, Renhawk, Ricky A, Samuel FL, Seth W, Scott DS, Stub Eve, The Bears OP, thank you, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you, all of you, for your support. It truly does mean the world to us out there and allowing us to do what we do for the monthly bit. I how do you feel about how the recent one panned out, Tanis?
I thought it was excellent. I love all of the collaboration we had with it, and it was great as someone that kind of takes in the lore passively, could kind of sit there and you know, really think about it while listening to really great minds put forth ideas.
Yeah, we went on for an hour about how the Elder God Wars end. So if that sounds interesting to you, check it out at patreon.com/rsbnb. Sign up for as little as $1 a month. You gain access to that one and a whole back catalog of monthly bits, including a big thank you for helping us in terms of the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. We also do have a $3 tier where you get a special rank on Discord, a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show in addition to everything else. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out each and every week on the podcast and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, which there happens to be one from this week's pre-show. But, of course, we are very close to the $200 Patreon mailout. We're at $185. We're only $5 patrons away, a number more at the $3 and $1 tier. So if you want to help us get to that next step, you will be receiving, if you choose to, through Patreon shipping info, a special token of our appreciation. And with that, we're actually going to be gathering this weekend to put that together, and I imagine it's going to turn out quite well. So we're very close. So if you want to help us get there, we might have a teaser of what that could look like by this weekend. But nonetheless, of course, at 500 is the Hot Ones Challenge. Tanis and myself, maybe a few others. Bears, do you like spicy things?
I do not.
Oh, okay. So you won't be there for that. Too bad. Too bad.
I don't like spicy say that things much. Either.
We'll see.
Okay.
I'd be a game time decision.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. And I imagine a lot of people are going to want to watch that one. But we're a ways away from that so far. So check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to the patch notes this week then. Because we do actually have a few patch notes this week in terms of things that have been fixed. So this one falls under the Croesus front for some reason. And the requirements to enter War's Retreat have been updated so that players with level 60 combat or higher will be able to enter as standard. But players with a skill total of 1,000 or more will now also be able to enter. And you only need to meet one of these requirements and not both. I don't know
the
why
reason that falls under the Croesus front is because it's a skilling boss. You don't need any combat levels. So if you wanted to get there, how do you get there?
Right, I guess
you level have to, 3. Yeah,
you have to run.
I don't know
through
if you can do the quests.
No, you don't need to do the quest to access it. You could just run through the cathedral as well, I think.
Or don't you need quests to get in there?
Oh, right, you do need a quest to get in there. So yeah, I guess this is the best way for people who haven't done the quest and haven't opened up Sentistan yet. So, boy, I wonder how many people were disenfranchised from fighting Croesus on this.
I don't know.
Okay, that makes sense why that's under Croesus front.
It's a big change. I mean, I know a lot of people who like have skilling alts who are like, oh, now I can go my alt at War's Retreat instead of having to go all the way to Grand Exchange or something.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, you get the necessary kills on Croesus, then you can activate the teleport to War's Retreat, and you got a bank chest and a prayer altar right there. So,
yep.
Makes sense, and, I mean, it's even as it is, it's just a good hub. Okay, now, I don't know what this is going to do due to the prices of the Scripture Bic, but players now have a greater chance of receiving elite clue scrolls when using the Scripture Bic. And the chances for receiving easy, medium, and hards have been lowered accordingly. That will probably cause it to go up.
I would imagine.
I already thought it was the best way to get elite clues. So I'm not sure.
But any avid cluer doesn't like elite clues. They like hard clues. We learned that in our clue scroll monthly bit. So you can just take those elites and turn them down to hards.
Yep.
So, Scripture prices on the rise, I would bet. Signs of the Porter now places items collected from hunter nodes into the player's bank if their backpack is full. Good to know. Potions added to the Croesus front can now be decanted by the appropriate NPCs. I actually haven't used any of these potions because I don't know. I feel like I've got this preset set up for Croesus that's effectively about 7 item slots. Maybe 8, if I'm remembering it correctly. And as a result of that, that leaves me with 20 items slots open in my inventory, and I need 18 of those for gathering at Croesus, so it just makes sense that I really am not going to be taking any potions in there except for restores and the tools. So I don't think I've heard of anybody using these potions to fight Croesus, or even the soups for that matter. Have you?
Yeah, no one that I know.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Changes now for the Glacier front. Changes have been made to the Arch Glacier's minions so that the minions' health now scales based on the number of mechanics enabled. Improved visibility on minion type by adding their combat style to their names. Does that help you, Tanis?
I mean, it's not going to change how, I mean, I'm not taking like a switch for a minion.
You shouldn't need a switch for a minion because they're all weak to the same thing. It's just a question of what they attack with. Okay. changed spawn position of minions so they no longer obscure the boss. And added
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's very important. Added a very minor delay to the activation of the shield when minions spawn. The shield no longer provides full immunity to the boss, but reduces all damage to 2%. This is to mitigate situations where the minions spawn with the boss on extremely low life. Finish him. I like that.
That was the most annoying thing. Yeah. It's like minions spawn, you're at 10 HP. You're like, God damn.
Yeah, I had it earlier this week. The minions spawned. I was at 800 HP left. So. the unstable core, which is non-interactable, has been moved to a lower priority level so as to not interfere with the minions' click areas. There's also a new Glacier model shown in the Slayer skill guide. Player-owned house pet house and the player-owned dungeon Slayer codex. And examining Gladys the pet will now show you the highest in rage you have completed because everybody, of course, loves that. Other fixes include improve the volume of the combat sound effects during this encounter, updated the examine text on the glaciers of the glacier front. Tsunami can now be used on the Archglacier's arms, and the Archglacier's enrage percentage will now be displayed correctly. Okay. Then, after this, we head back to the Nodon front, where rejoining an instance after changing difficulty will now send the player to the correct mode. I feel like we just had one of those with Glacier front last week. Closing interface with the escape key will no longer trigger the battlefield ability. That's funny. And fixed an issue with the hitbox of Carapac's lightning strike attack. Now, this is good, because previously, this would result in you getting hit more times than you had to with that lightning. And I saw a tweet reaction when this was in development by one of the JMods working on it. I forget his name currently. But I did actually go back to Carapac this week, and it felt a whole lot better with this. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah, so basically it only hits you 3 times if you're standing still opposed to 5.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big deal.
Yep.
Very big deal. All right. And, you know, I just surged through that. That's the way everybody deals with that, right? You surge through the lightning strike normally.
Or barricade.
Or barricade, I guess, if you have the shield. Fair enough. Mobile fixes. The wilderness level indicator has been repositioned to the right of the chat box for better visibility and resolved an issue where the red square was present on the bank interface banner on mobile devices that have a tall aspect ratio. All right. Closing the bag of materials. I assume this means archaeology will no longer show the achievements interface. You know, I was wondering why this always used to come up. I remember having this problem, so I'm glad that has been addressed. But I think we're heading into the biggest patch note of the week right now. And you can tell me, Bears, how much of an impact this is going to have. But the tsunami ability can now be cast against primary targets more than 4 tiles away, respecting the player's attack range. Secondary targets will still be selected from the area in front of the player.
Yeah, that's huge. I kind of told you earlier in the week how, for some reason, my whole clan has just been like, you know what, let's go do magic. And we've all been learning it. So it's been a lot of fun. But this is one thing that drove us all nuts is if you're standing 8 tiles away, you can't use tsunami. And you had to walk in closer and then use it. And what's funny is if this would have been patched a year and a half ago or even a year ago, no one would have blinked an eye because no one used tsunami that much. But now with the new spells, it's only 40% adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then you get more adrenaline because of it. So it's used very often in magic rotations. So not having to walk in closer to use it and then step back again if you need to just saves time and effort.
Yeah. And the sense I get from this is that you use Insight Fear with tsunami. When you're looking to do AoE with the new Sentistan spells, and when you're looking
trying to cycle adrenaline.
Okay. Or if you're looking to do just single target, you would then use Exsanguinate, right?
Yeah. You kind of switch. You can switch between them and keep the stacks for both.
Right. So you would build the stacks of Exsanguinate first, and then switch to Incite Fear.
Yep.
Okay.
Use it, and then you switch back.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I never really have done before. I've never actually switched active spells in combat, which I guess would just be a right click on the UI and set auto cast, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you can keybind it.
Some people really?
Do. I haven't gotten there yet.
So I had no idea something like that could be keybound.
I know you can at least put it on your action bar. I'm not sure if keybinding would actually work with
this. Oh, okay. So then basically every tick or so, then you'd just be able to manually fire the spell.
Yeah.
That is taking combat to a whole level of manual control that I don't think I could ever go back to. What do you think, Dennis?
Four tick manual attack? All right. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's insane what some people do with magic.
Oh, yeah.
They're switching weapons every tick. It's like, oh, that's
yeah,
that's
no
too
thank
much.
You. No thank you. So, and, you know, I go back to what we said on the Care Pack episode, that Greater Concentrated Blast with these new spells is probably more powerful and easier to access than Greater Ricochet with ranged. And Greater Concentrated Blast plus these spells should be more damage per minute than ranged without Greater Ricochet. And
yeah, it definitely is.
Okay. And, you know, this raises a whole other discussion we could have. Is that, you know, should I switch my primary combat type to magic? Because I've been using ranged with, you know, ascensions and now the Araxite bow with the new arrows recently. But I don't have Greater Ricochet yet because last I looked, that's 1.9 billion. I'm not sure I want to sink that.
Well, I don't know. It went up that much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's a topic for another day. The current model and animations for Hanabis will now appear in quests prior to Desperate Measures, and updated Hanabis' model and animations in Fate of the Gods. The Mallory boss pet's idle animation no longer causes FPS drops. Players will no longer receive notifications about Juju farming potions after running out of Perfect Plus potions. This issue was caused by drinking a Perfect Juju potion immediately before a Perfect Plus potion. While hunting, players will now require 2 free backpack slots when collecting captured animals from box straps. And the extended super anti-fire potion icon will now disappear when the buff timer runs out. The name of the buff timer will stay the same when relogging. Also, another anti-fire one, when you drink an anti-fire potion that overrides an effect, that will now correctly update the buff bar. Extreme runecrafting potions were also touched this week in that the buff will disappear from the buff bar after it expires and the player is logged out. And performing the shock emote will no longer cause the player avatar's hand to clip through their head. Oh, that's hilarious. And last but not least, players will no longer receive double XP after one party member leaves the game at the end of a dungeon floor. Players will no longer receive double XP after one party member leaves the game at the end of a dungeon floor. I just had to read that one twice.
That's
for
a
emphasis.
Hell of a bug.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a random person. It's just awards a random person their XP.
I don't know.
I wonder, it's like, so there's the dungeoneering services that you can just like pay to leech. I'm wondering if that was part of their service, too.
Oh, it probably
like all
was.
All 4 of them leave right when... I have no idea.
That's like, you know, these are the kind of things that, you know, slip under the radar for so long. And because people are paying these services for that, they're kind of, you know, strong-armed into, don't say anything about this.
So, yeah.
I mean, you don't probably have to twist their arm if they're paying to get out of Dungeoneering. They're
and I'm betting there's like a whole contract involved with it too, that, you know, you don't talk about this, you don't talk about
Shane,
your XP rates.
Do you know how the black market works? Usually you don't put things in writing.
Well, it's the unwritten contract, or else the Cambridge mob's going to come get you.
See, because they put it in writing. You're not supposed to do that.
Aye, aye, aye. All right. live stream. Halloween events coming next week. I'm not going to go too much into this because we're going to have our hands on it next week, and that's going to be the main discussion then. But suffice Thank to you. Say, it'll resume at Draenor Manor. They're going to expand on it. There were 4 mini quests this year. We're getting 2 new mini quests as well as 2 new activities with some new rewards. One of the new activities will award Slayer and Magic XP, while the other will award Hunter and Fishing XP. The Slayer and Magic one is non-AFK, where you'll, in effect, be defeating skeletons outside, and the Hunting and Fishing one is more AFKable. There's also going to be a Legacy Cosmetics tab with rewards from past years, a new pet, and an upgraded scythe, and they were very, very coy about not saying what was going to be in that Legacy Cosmetics tab. I wonder how far back people we're speculating talking about this.
I don't know.
Like the old scythe, the non-tradable one, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
From 2003? That might be interesting.
You know, I'm going to
Jack-o'-lantern head?
That would be cool. I feel like I got to cut him some slack because of the Elder God Wars fronts, but I hope there's more to chew on than meets the eye here.
Well, if anything, it'll be like the spring event this year, right? Because that was also relatively small.
Yeah, but this is like we've already done these quests, except yeah. for 2 of them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a bummer. Like I said, I'll come to slack. They've all been working hard on Elder God Wars, but yeah. But hey, on the bright side, Shane, you get Slayer XP and
Magic XP. Yeah, I am considering that actually.
I knew you would.
You know, I dislike Slayer.
No, you haven't. I haven't found the magic yet.
No, I haven't.
Still doing your Reaper Summon every night, though?
Yep, every day. Love Pretty it. Much. isn't that funny that I enjoy Reaper more than Slayer?
I get that. I mean, even if you get, like, Vindicta, it's
that's fine.
Easy enough boss to do, and it's
I actually need
possibly
to kill,
a 40 mil.
Vindicta, because I have yet to unlock the Shadow Components.
Ooh.
So. I actually had the thought of actually just going to Camp Vindicta at one point.
It's a fun boss.
For a few hours. Just do that. But we'll see. Speaking of Halloween and Slayer and the next front, we have an audio question this week from the RR Man. And let's dive right into that right now.
Hey, it's the RR Man here. How's it going? Want to give you that question that everyone is asking. What's that fourth boss going to be? Okay, so what we've had so far. We've had a standard boss. The first boss, it's like a God Wars 2 boss on steroids. Second boss, training boss. Epic. Everyone loves it. Third boss, skilling boss. Oh my god, crazy. No one expected it. I didn't. I wanted it. Didn't expect it. Damn, but what is that fourth boss gonna be? Lots of people speculating, there's many things. It could be a mini raid, it could be like a mini elite dungeon, it could even be a mini fight cave boss. I don't know, I'm literally stunned. Imagine if it's some kind of clue scroll boss, who knows? I don't know, anything's on the table now. I want to say, I'm stunned. Like, the skilling boss was amazing. I love it. Can't wait until they put one out there that's like a solo or like a duo skilling boss. Like, oh, I'm so pumped. Can't wait to see what you guys think. Peace out.
All right. You know, there was a talk of maybe doing something, and I think that's where the Elite Dungeon side comes from, is that they're relatively easy to create, and they were at one point considering something Elite Dungeon related, I think was mentioned in a live stream for something Elder God Wars related, so that is an option. But personally for me, I think it's going to be a throwback to the fight caves and the kiln, and it's going to be a miniaturized boss version of that, because to me, those are classic pieces of RuneScape combat activities. But the two biggest problems with them the fight cave and the kiln is that their long time investing processes that if you fail at them, you get thrown back to the beginning. And, you know, that's a game designed from, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And that's really not what people crave in this day and age. So I think that something in the same vein as, you know, as either the cave or the kiln with the Takahara is going to be what we're looking at.
I agree 100%. And I think the best way to like kind of compare it for how long the fight should take is, you know, the monthly D&D with Troll Invasion.
Yeah.
If each fight takes, you know, what that takes 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, you can kind of base it off that. Obviously, you got to make it much harder. But, like, if you have it that length, you can still get, what, 6, 7 waves in of the monsters. I think that's doable, and I think that could be fun. And you get a reward, maybe, for each wave you go through.
Yeah, and you could check out at the end of it. I think that is something that's key, because one thing that we've all seen with the Elder God Wars dungeon bosses is that they're all relatively compact in terms of time. That same level of complexity that you see in Karapak or the Glacier or in Krosis, in that they can be killed in, you know, 2 to 5 minutes, depending on what you do with your team. So I think as long as you keep it in that time frame, it'll be good. Which way are you going, Tanis?
I still think that it could be. I think you're on the right track with a fight cave style, kiln style boss. The only difference is I think it will open with the quest. I think it will be perhaps a replayable quest with a final, with a boss fight, just like in the kiln.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because they did say that there would be content in the Elder God Wars for everyone. We've had the Skilling Boss, we've had the Sintistan Archaeology, and of course we've had Karapak and the Archglacier, which cover all the various ends of the spectrum. The one thing we haven't had outside of the City of Sintistan quest was a mini quest. And I forget who was saying it, but something broken home related.
I saw that too. But when you consider all the, like, the whole quest line to get into the city, part of, like, the questers thing for Elder God Wars?
Yeah.
I know they weren't mandatory, but if you're a quester, you were going to do them.
Yeah, I'm drawing some of this from what we talked about on the bit, but I think this would lead in nicely to a replayable... I mean, it would be a replayable quest, but in the same way that, you know, the fight kill, there was a quest to open that, right?
Right. So right.
That's, yeah.
Another thing I saw floated once upon a time was a tower defense kind of thing, like we saw in the dinosaurs in the Battle of the Monolith.
Please, no.
Please, no. God, no.
I don't think RuneScape is the game for that, unfortunately. It worked in the quest, but it hasn't worked since.
But it only worked in one quest?
Yeah.
And even then, I didn't like doing that.
Yeah. Not a fan.
I don't know. I'd rather just, like, fight on myself if there's a boss fight.
Yeah, that's true. And we also just need to completely tip this on its head. Everybody here has been talking to Zar, Takar, something related to that. Given that this is going to be the front associated with Full, and she created those creatures, everybody's assuming it's going to be something on that same vein, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. It could be something else we haven't seen before. So I just want to float that out there as well.
I just want cape upgrades.
That's true, and that's the only thing we haven't really touched on yet in this entire experience. We got the arrow upgrades, we got the magic upgrade, we got the magic stick. We got the magic armor. So the really only things that haven't been touched we got the melee weapons was the capes, right? So it would actually make sense on that.
Okay. The other thing I want to touch on real quick from his question, I completely agree there should be another skilling boss that's solo or duo. I love group fights, and like that's what I spend a lot of my time with is doing group PVM. But I know there are a ton of people who don't want to get into group content because they're worried about bringing the team down.
Yeah, or even just finding the group.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% agree with you on that. And another fun thing that comes to my mind is that if we're talking about purely, you know, maybe doing another skilling boss, there's nothing to say, and we're on that skilling boss track, there's nothing to say that we couldn't, you know, go back and look at Big Game Hunter again and make that more boss-like and add a couple of more mechanics to it and up the drops from it. There's nothing to say that we couldn't do that as well, because skilling boss has been talked about with Big Game Hunter before when Krosis was first announced. So I don't know. I'm leaning towards cape and is something Czar related, I think. So, anything else on that question, or should we move on to our next one?
I'm good to move on.
All right. Next one is from Chi Chi Pa. What is one thing, big or small, you would like to change or add to make RuneScape combat better? Oh boy. Here we go. Dennis, you want to go first?
Sure. I don't really like RuneScape combat. So the thing that I would change would be let me move my character with WASD. I might have a fighting chance to get out of the way.
So abandon the grid system then?
Abandon it. That it said big or small, right? Well,
yeah.
There's my wish.
Yeah. And, you know, just like EOC and the action bar changed other things outside of combat, this changes stuff outside of combat as well, and would be a question about the whole identity for the game in terms of what people wanted to talk about, what is RuneScape. So that is definitely a big one, but 100% valid. How about you, Bears?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like RuneScape is it's not WASD.
Oh, really? Okay.
For some reason, I do not like games with that. So,
huh. Fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, Bears?
So mine is something that seems like they might be working towards, but it is a diversity in weapons, but not switches. So what I mean by that is instead of, you know, everyone only using Ascension crossbows or Blightbounds, you know, maybe you can throw in a regular longbow in there and actually use it. And then for melee, like, you can camp Kopeshes or the new tier 95s, but you're not going to be efficient doing it. Like, I don't like that. Like, you should be able to just camp one and deal the same amount of damage no matter what weapon you use. And it just bugs me how they add the diversity, but they add it in a switch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 100% with you that I don't like Switchscape, whether it comes to combat items itself or prayers. I don't like that. I don't think that is in the spirit of EOC, because when EOC was first being hatched as an idea, the whole thing behind it was that previously you had to know the RuneScape UI in order to be good at combat, be able to swap between the inventory tab and the prayer tab at the right time to be able to get your correct prayer up, but also be able to get back to that tab to drink your prayer potion and eat your food at the right time as well. And that made it a question about interface, whereas this does the exact same thing as well. You got to make sure that you know the action bar at the right spot to, in effect, keybind your weapon switch. And if you want to take it one step further, you can bind that to your mouse if your mouse has extra buttons on it. and that we're in that same whole spot, whereas it's not necessarily about not only knowing the RuneScape UI, you have to, in effect, know how to run your external hardware as well, the mouse with all the buttons on it. So,
and I have to say, they are the last two weapons they released with the staff and the tier 95 dual-wield melees. Both of them are kind of promoted as weapons where you can camp.
Yeah.
Like the dual wields have the hurricane ability added to it, and that's incredible. I love it. So they're working towards it, I think.
Yeah, and even with the new splintering arrows, you don't need to swap those. It's only really the death spores you want to consider doing that for. So
yep.
Maybe we're heading on the right direction on that, but I think you know, when we were talking about it on the episode back in December when Raksha came out, there was a whole discussion about the necessary swaps and, you know, prayer switches that were needed for that fight that I said, you know, this is very much in the vein of a boss that you would see in old school, except this is here for RS3 with the swaps that are prayer switches and whatnot that are needed for it. So I'm not a fan of that kind of combat myself. But for me, personally, it's kind of on the same vein as what Tanis has said. And we know that this likely isn't going to happen without a rewrite to the game, which is unfortunate. But I would like us to see that the tick system be changed to not be, you know, 0.6 seconds. That still throws me off from time to time. Tick system.
Yeah, that's... At this point, it's just so deep into the game that, yeah, he'll never
change. Yeah, you can't change it, you know... The way I understand it is you'd basically have to rewrite the farming skill if you wanted to change the tick system, amongst other things. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I see this and I realize that I had a couple of ping spikes into the 250 range, and it completely tanked what I was doing in terms of being able to manage my combat abilities. So that combined with the game system, yeah, you can definitely see how when the PVMers say that they think an increment's of 0.6 seconds, you can see what they mean. So,
yeah. I mean, I've even started saying tick in my, like, everyday language where it's like I'm watching a football game, it's like, oh, they just missed snapping the ball by a tick. It's like, oh, no one knows what I mean here, but I know what I mean.
Yeah, and anybody who plays RS would know, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Chichipa. If you guys want to send your own questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com, post them via Twitter DM, or send them to update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right. So let's talk picks of the week here. And I got a pick of the week for Mac users and, well, anybody who wants to make their computer look like a Mac. If you go to os10.photo, that's osx.photo. Yes, it's pronounced 10, not X. There's a series of remastered classic Mac OS 10 wallpapers, I should say, not classic Mac OS, because that would be a different operating system. In particular, going back to Leopard, Snow Leopard, Lion, and Mountain Lion, which in many ways I see as the golden age of Mac OS, either Snow Leopard or Mountain Lion. 10.6 or 10.8, depending on your perspective of which you preferred. And back in the day, these wallpapers were really only designed to work at 1680 by 1050 at most. So what the person behind this website has done has remastered them to work on all screen sizes up to, believe it or not, the 6K display that Apple sells. But you know, you don't need to be on a Mac if you like the way these wallpapers look. You can just pick them up and even use them on Windows if you chose. So yeah, it's a series of nice looking wallpapers. You can find them at OS10, which is OSX.photo. So that's my pick of the week. A nice and easy one. So
very cool.
Now, I miss that version of Mac OS. All right, Tanis, what do you got?
Well, I got the show that's sweeping the nation. And when I say nation, I mean South Korea. No, I'm kidding. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Squid Game, because everyone's talking about Squid Game, and for good reason. It's you know, it's October, it's spooky season, and this is a disturbing show. If you kind of like the violence of Hunger Games, but aren't so much into the children killing, and then you might like Squid Game. here's a helpful tip. It's all in Korean, so bless you if you speak it, but I didn't. And you know my struggles. Yes, and you know my struggles with that, right?
Yeah. So how did you take this show in then?
So my friend, I was telling my friend about it at work.
Have they dubbed it yet?
Well, see, that's the thing. Yeah, I was talking to him. He's a big horror movie guy, and I asked him, I'm like, so how am I going to do this? And he went to Netflix, paused it, and there are settings for your audio and subtitles. Change that to English, boom, it's good to go. It was in English, so that's how we're doing it.
Interesting.
Yep. So, yeah, but it's no Tiger King, but it's pretty good. And it definitely asks some pretty disturbing questions. And it's the kind of show where you're like, oh, God, don't show the elites this. They'll be trying it. I'm like, my God, this is some, you know, Illuminati shit or something. I don't know. Yeah,
and you know, I mentioned in the beginning here in the pre-show that there was a question. You said, "Oh, this seems like this would be right up your alley." And I said, "You know, I actually don't think it's a good idea to be doing this." And you touched on precisely why right there with what you last said. Is that I don't think we should be going down this track, honestly.
Well, like you said, yeah, I don't want to give anybody any ideas. Essentially, that's the idea behind it, I believe. It's just, it's a way of getting out of debt, and it's very simple, like kids' games, but the consequences are anything but. So think debtor's prison meets Hunger Games, I guess. Instead of fighting each other, you're playing, like, you know, hopscotch and shit.
That's interesting.
And I assume the reason we call it related to Hunger Games is because if you fail, then something bad happens to you.
Oh yeah, something really bad happens to you.
Would it be fair to say you wind up dead?
Uh-huh, yeah, you won't be telling any tales.
Fascinating.
So yeah, that's my pick of the week, and yeah, number one trending thing on Netflix right now, I think.
Yeah, I believe it is.
In the Philippines, a replica doll of the doll used in the show is exhibited on Ortigas Avenue in Quezon City in September. They built a set replica in Seoul, South Korea, though it was prematurely closed due to COVID. And in Paris, a Squid Game pop-up store opened on October 2nd and 3rd, where a person could win a free month Netflix subscription if they managed to get the right shape from the Delgana in 1 minute and 30 seconds.
My God, I just had a scary realization.
What?
So if they built that a scale replica in Seoul, Korea,
yeah,
we think Kim Jong-un built in North Korea. You know, he's got Squid Game, the live the live action. It's so bad, but you know he probably does.
I worry about society at this point. And that's why I'm not watching this. All right, Bears, what do you got for pick of the week?
Well, I have another option on Netflix that you could watch. This is Lucifer. They released part two of season five. I'd say about a month or two ago. I'm slowly working towards there. This is my fourth time watching it, so I watched it once by myself. And as soon as I finished watching it, my girlfriend's like, "Ooh, I want to watch it." It's like, "Okay, I'll watch it with you." So I watched it again, and then they released season five, part one, so I watched it through again. And then they released part two. Part two was delayed due to COVID. So they left it on a huge cliffhanger, and every single night I text my girlfriend, like, "Can we watch tonight? Can we watch tonight? Like, please, can we watch?" So what the story behind is, the devil got bored of hell, and he wanted to go up to Los Angeles. So he does, and he does what, you know, the devil would do: sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, that sort of stuff. He owns a nightclub, and he's living life. And he runs into the LAPD, gets perplexed by one of the detectives, and he helps her with the case, and then from there they have a partnership working on murders. So it's kind of like a murder show where, you know, the CSI, they're solving the murders, but there's also a lot more story with it. There's a lot more jokes and all that stuff, and it's fantastic.
Well, you guys have the choice this week between macOS wallpapers, real life Hunger Games, or the devil.
The devil.
One last thing I want to say is it really gives you like a different thought on like the whole God devil story.
Oh, I bet.
Like, I'm not saying you're like rooting for the devil, but in this show, you're watching Lucifer, and you're like, "Yeah, go Lucifer!" And it's super strange to feel that way.
And that's why Tannis,
just like the Rolling Stones said, "Man, a little sympathy for the devil."
That's why Tannis is chuckling right now. Okay, that was perhaps one of the most interesting pick of the week segments that we've had in a long time. One. Then two, then three, just in up level from that. Okay. Tannis, start us off with our achievements then.
All right. Starting on the 13th, we have Rippiff with 99 Herb Lore, Ithus with 120 Archaeology. That was on the 12th. We have Taffin Spy with 99 Strength on the 12th. The Outdoors with 99 Smithing on the 12th. We have Uber Plastic with 99 Crafting. Vanek with 120 Archaeology. And let's see, Vapor 13579 with 99 Invention, all on October 12th.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Congrats, guys. Moving on, we got Gooey Cookie with 99 Woodcutting on the 10th. Shamrock Soup with 99 Constitution on the 10th. Tankeet 99 Invention on October 10th. The Outdoors 99 Firemaking. Dawana with 99 Farming on the 9th. Quest Kitty with 99 Thieving on the 9th. The Lion with 200 mil ranged on the 9th. And Zodiac Hide with 120 defense on the 9th.
Nicely done. Next up, we have Dr. Reggie with 99 defense on the 8th of October. Sorensen 57 with 200 million archaeology also on the 8th. Kaluna with 120 invention on the 7th. Nytherio's got 99 archaeology and 99 agility on the 7th. Continuing with that, we got The Outdoors with 99 Herb Lore, The Lion with 200 million runecrafting XP, and Uber Plastic with 99 Divination, all on the 7th. Well done, everyone. It's a good achievement week with it not being double XP. Nice to have a good broad selection of 99s, 120s, and even a few 200s in that. So what have we been up to on RS? Let's start with you, Tannis.
Still doing a lot of woodcutting, still still selling the splittering arrows.
Yeah, it really changes things, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it. I can't think of a slower XP rate, but but it's okay. I really just kind of wanted to do a lot of AFK, and I was doing some mining before this, so wood cutting is all right. The full torch is so good that, you know, I'll do that and extend my wood cutting aura, because, you know, the skilling aura is only cost 10 wax to double, so no big deal there. And then I just been doing wood cutting for a couple hours every night, and that's been about it. But
you're,
I'm
doing
making
Eldritch
money,
right?
Yeah, I'm trying to make enough. We're gonna try to get the offhand for mining.
Oh.
So I can go back to that, because mining, I'm a lot closer to 120 than I am
right
wood cutting.
Right. So. And how do you get around to the elder trees? Do you use the teleport on the suit?
Yeah. So, well, kind of. What I do is I start with my elder tree in Prif, and then I go with a lodestone to Varrock, and then I use the suit for the sorcerer tower, and then that's my rotation.
Okay. How many? I've never actually timed it. How many you have to rotate with that? That's actually really interesting. So that's only three. So I've never timed it. That's actually a good thing to note.
Yeah, when I did them, I was doing like a rotation of six or seven. So
yeah,
having three is, that's much easier.
Yeah, three is pretty good if that's working for you. Good to know. Yeah, as for me, same thing. Elder wood cutting, with the arrowheads and whatnot. Reaper tasks, I think pretty much every other day. Has been this week. I think we had an Araxer in there. We had an Archglacer. We had a Vindicta. We had the Barrows of all things in there as well. So, yeah, pretty much everything Reaper related, and then just Elder woodcutting with that, and farming my own animals at the ranch at a time to complete the dinosaur breeding log there. So. That's what I've been up to all week, and pretty much ever since Grossest came out. And I'm actually enjoying woodcutting. I never thought I'd say that elder woodcutting would feel as though it was actually palatable. So there we have it. And bears.
So I am currently saving up for the tier 95 staff, fractured staff of Armadale.
How much is that going for now?
About 6 pill.
Oh.
So I have 2/3 of it already, which those thirds equal to be 3 pill. So the last piece, what keeps happening is people keep buying one piece at a time and like just hanging on to it and not selling it.
Right.
So it jumps up to like 3 or 4 bill, and then it just messes with the whole price. So that's been annoying. So part of that was doing 600 Legion kills in the last 2 days. I was able to make 2 Ascension crossbows. That was my first time doing Legions.
Yeah, I should actually look at that. I know people in Clan Quest have been camping that as well, and I'd imagine it's not too difficult given the current state of RS combat.
I wonder if keys are up then.
They are.
Damage-wise, no. I mean, the mechanics are still kind of annoying. There was one that I refuse to ever go back to, so I won't make another Ascension. It was super annoying. But if you can get enough kills per hour, in theory, it's the best money in game. But that's, you know, 100 plus kills an hour.
Yeah, which, and we're talking farming the keys, right?
I bought them.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Right, yeah. And What I was seeing otherwise is that we were just farming keys in Clan Quest, I think.
Yeah, no, that's really good AFK money if you have it in your player-owned Slayer dungeon.
Yeah, yeah.
I ended up making about 80 mil with the 2 Ascensions that I made. I was pretty happy with that.
Good.
Yeah,
and that's about it. And that is a lot in terms of what you're going for with the staff, I don't feel too bad about eyeing, you know, spending an extra 200-250 to finish off the Essence of Finality, something I've been working towards but haven't done. I don't feel too bad about actually maybe just spending to finish that, since yeah, the money is in the bank, so to speak. So, but yeah, sounds good. We'll be back, of course, for next week's episode of RSBNB Update. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. We will, of course, have any new coverage relating to all the stories that we've talked about. And if you want to, of course, get RSBNB Update delivered directly to you, just find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, and the new one, Amazon Music. We're on Amazon Music, so that means if you have an Amazon device, one that starts with E or one that starts with A, all you have to do is find Update on there, and you'll be able to listen to us on those devices. And, of course, we're on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. We're about, at this point, 40 subscribers away from 1,000, and that's a little bit of a mini goal that we've had. So if you haven't yet subscribed on YouTube, please do that at youtube.com/RSBNB, and leave a like while you're there as well. It helps the channel out. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone. See you then.
See ya.
See ya.